I want to give you some scripture and talk to you about some, just a few bits of scriptural and common sense philosophy regarding finances, and then we'll dive right into the practical side of it. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So we have people around us who are either wealthy or they live wealthy. And the Bible says, be careful, Christian, be careful, child of God, not to get enamored with that lifestyle, because it comes at a very high cost. Oftentimes it comes at a cost that you're not willing to pay. So don't be enamored with it. If God chooses to bless you financially, then wonderful. And we need people that God can trust with finances so they can be good conduits and represent the Lord in this world financially. But we can't get enamored with it. We have to make sure we don't get caught up in that business. Look at verse 4. Labor not to be rich. So I've said it here many times throughout the years. Getting rich is a bad reason to go to work. I just want to get rich. That's not the best reason, because getting rich is kind of this goal that's set before you. And if you want to say, I want to save this much money, or I want to make this much money per year, or I'm all for goals and things where you can manage and set a good set of goals to get there the Lord's way. But just having this nebulous idea of I want to get rich without any type of plan, that being enamored with that lifestyle, that's very dangerous. So we don't need to labor to be rich. That's not our goal in life. Because then oftentimes, watch rich people, oftentimes they're rich at the expense of their families. Oftentimes they're rich at the expense of their marriage. Oftentimes they're rich at the expense of their own morality, their own honor. And so there are some things in life that are more important than money. And this is just what this keeps us, our mindset rooted biblically, that getting rich isn't my goal. Now, would I like to have tons and tons of money? Absolutely. You know, who wouldn't? If I'm anchored in everything that God wants me to be anchored in. And so that's not semantics. There's a huge difference there. All right, and then look at verse 4, cease from thine own wisdom. Stop thinking that money is going to fix your problems. Oh, if I just had enough money here, if I just had enough money there. Money is not your greatest need. God's your greatest need. The blessing of God's your greatest need. Now, do we all need money? Yes, it's the currency of life. It's how we get things done. It's how we pay for food and shelter and clothing and take care of our families and all these things. So I'm not against money. I'm against the love of money. And so cease from our own wisdom. Getting rich is not going to answer our problems. Matter of fact, it's almost cliche. Do a study on what happens to people after they win the lottery. Oftentimes their lives literally fall apart. Literally. And so we have to change our thinking. Cease from our own wisdom and trust God's wisdom. All right, look at verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And so even if you got riches, it's amazing how quickly riches go. Riches is hard to come by, and it's very easy to leave. And so we have to have this mindset. If I spend my life working for money, then I'm setting my eyes upon things that are not. It's not stable. It can come and it can go. Think about the stock market, and I don't have anything in the stock market, so it's not like I have a vested interest, but for those that are rich, they usually have a lot of money in the stock market, or some of you would probably have IRAs and different things that are connected to the stock market. And remember the big stock market drops where literally trillions of dollars were just gone. They're just numbers on a spreadsheet. They're just gone. People lost tens of thousands of dollars just that fast. Why? Because money just flies away. And so we have to be careful that our faith and our trust is in the Lord. And matter of fact, that's what the Bible talks about. Rich people, speaking directly to Christian rich people, is make sure you don't trust your money. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And good thoughts there. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And then we see a little illustration here, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. So this used to be a beautiful, productive vineyard. Now it's unproductive, it's disheveled, it's in disrepair. And the Bible says what happened. Number one, sloth, laziness, will always cause a life to begin to break apart. And then number two, void of understanding, not having the wisdom and understanding of God. And then, but he learned from this. Look at verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. That would be like a homeless man or a hobo or a gypsy. And thy want as an armed man. That's someone who is in such need that they're willing to threaten you and take your life or hurt you to get what they need. And so the Bible here speaks of hard work. And if we let up in this area of finances, if we're not careful, then this whole thing falls apart. Our whole financial picture can just fall apart. Now, that doesn't mean we worry about it overly, but we are aware of it and we work on it. And it's part of our to-do list each week, each month. We are constantly aware of where we're at and how things are looking. Now let's look at verse 27, or chapter 27. Look at verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Why? For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of thy field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So the promise here is if you're diligent and if you take care, then you're going to have enough. God's going to provide you with enough. But verse 23 gives us two good instructions. Number one, be diligent to know. Be diligent to know. Don't answer this, but do you know how much is in your bank account right now? Not what's on the online statement, because a lot of people get in trouble because they forget they might have a check or some charge that's not come out yet. If you're just looking at your online balance, that's why it's important to keep a check register or some type of running register so you know what you have minus what you've already given away and committed that may not have been deducted yet. So be diligent to know. Do you know what's in your bank account? Did you look at it this week? Do you know what's in your wallet right now? Do you know what's in your purse right now? Be diligent to know. And then the next thing is look well. Look well. Pay attention. Pay attention to it. And so we need to be diligent to know, to be aware, and then keep watching it. And then here the Bible talks about flocks and herds. Remember, back in this day, they didn't have American dollars. A lot of their wealth was tied up in their flocks and their herds. That would be their net worth, if you will, would be tied up in everything that they owned, including their flocks and herds and their animals and their possessions, silver and gold and these types of things. But important for us to know. And then why is it so important to be diligent to know and to look well? Look at verse 24. For or because riches are not forever. Remember, they leave quickly. They can be gone. Things can just change. How many of us, and I'm saying this is me, how many of us have ever just looked at our checking account and said, what happened? Where'd that go? What in the world? I had this. That's not a good place to be. And so let's work to be diligent. Now, we understand the philosophies of it, but how do we make this happen? And I'm going to talk to you about those things in just a minute. As we get to, though, the practicalities of looking well to our finances and being diligent to know and these things, I think it's important to have some specific goals, because our goals are what drive us, our own personal motivations. Why am I going to look well to my finances? Why does it matter why paying so much attention? Let me give you a couple specific things. Number one, I want to pay attention to my finances so I can make sure I obey God with the tithe. People say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Sure you can. You get a dime, give God a penny. You got it in your hand, give it to him. You got a dollar, give him a dime. You got 100, give him 10. You got 1,000, give him 100. You got it right there. The truth is, you've got it. Why don't we give it? Well, number one, either we're not trusting the Lord, we're rebellious, or number two, we've already given it away. And oftentimes people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. Why? Because you've already given away God's money. Oh, well, God will forgive me. You better read the scriptures. That's one area where God says, I'll sick the devourer on you. Mm-hmm. I'll sick him on you. Yep. I remember very well my parents, the day when they came, when they realized that they didn't make any money when they didn't tithe. And I might tell that story later. They didn't make any money. They finally got it. We're not keeping this money. We might as well give it to God. And so coming to that conclusion, I want to make sure that I'm being aware of my finances so I can make sure I give God every penny that's His. I don't want to cheat Him. Matter of fact, the Old Testament says that if you delay to give your tithe, then God charges a fifth. It's like 20%. If you say, well, I'm going to take my tithe and go on vacation with it, and God says, okay, now you owe me 20% of what your tithe was. So instead of owing Him 100, now you owe Him 120. You say, preacher, you're just some money-hungry preacher. Number one, you know that's not true. And number two, read the scriptures. This is a serious thing to God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So number one, I want to make sure that I tithe. My number two goal is I want to make sure that I can support missions. I want to be able to take some of the money God's given me and put it towards missions so that I can help support good people around the world. Number three, we need to pay attention to our money so we can have savings. Now, some of the things I'm going to say here have been around for generations and even made famous by some famous people here and there. But the truth is, this is just good common sense wisdom. Each one of us should have an emergency fund, some money set aside that we don't touch, so when something crazy happens, we're not pulling out the credit card. And a good place to start, so let's try to get about $1,000. I know you say, preacher, that seems impossible right now. You start obeying the Lord and paying attention to your flocks and herds, and you might be amazed what God can do. Amen. And so have that goal. But see, now that makes me even more diligent. Well, no, I can't go buy that extra coffee today because I need to get my savings up. See, our vision determines our action. And if I don't have clarity when it comes to my financial goals, then I'll be lazy when it comes to actually spending my money. All right, so we want to look at having a emergency fund. Number four, we want to pay off all of our debts except our house. And so, you know, let's focus on paying off the credit cards. Do this. Take your end-of-the-year statements from all your credit cards and loans last year. And I just did some of this, and I stopped because I got the picture. Take what you have out on loan and just add up your interest for 2016. Credit cards, home loans, car loans, anything. And add it all up and watch how much you gave to the bankers last year. It's discouraging. That's why bankers drive BMWs and we drive Chevys, if we're smart. No, I'm kidding. Getting a rise out of Owen back there. Owen's like, heresy! Yes. That's right. And so I don't care what I drive as long as it starts when I get in it. Amen? But it's kind of shocking. And so in our world, if obviously having a house and things like that, it's okay to carry a little bit of debt. Matter of fact, the less debt you have, the higher your credit rating goes, the lower your interest rates go. If you understand the way the banks work, they want to give you money when you don't need it. They don't want to give you money when you desperately need it because they're afraid they won't get it back. But they will trip over themselves to give money to people that don't need it. And so the further we get into a position where we don't need their money, then the better leverage we have when it goes to getting some or getting a loan, then we end up paying a lot less for the use of it. All right, let me say next, we want to get up 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. It's good to have 3 to 6 months expenses in savings. And we try to do this with the church. And last year, it's a good thing we had it. We used quite a bit of that. And some of our surplus, we call it. And so it's good to have surplus if you hit a dip or you get hit big financially or something happens. Let's say, God forbid, you lose your job, you get hurt. You have a little bit of cushion there. And then next, of course, putting money into retirement's a good idea. And I know that seems so far away, but it's something that we're all going to face. And let me just be honest with you. If you're trusting Medicare and Social Security to take care of you, you know, I'm looking at 25, 30 years before that's even available to me. Am I really going to trust the politicians in Washington to make sure that's there? Of course not. Matter of fact, they've already taken it. The truth is, when all that started, it was supposed to go into a savings fund, and they weren't supposed to take it. There should be Medicare and Social Security money sitting in a bank somewhere where you are drawing off of the physical money, but that's not what happened. They already took it and spent it, and each month it is a rush trying to replace that money before everybody needs it. We can't trust them to take care of us. We gotta try to plan ahead and work on these things ourselves. All right. Next, it might be good to start a college fund for the children. Some kind of savings for them. Next, it'd be great if you could pay your home off early. Imagine if you could have that $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month, whatever your house payment is. Imagine if you could have that and just bank that every month. That'd be something. Number nine, what about saving money? How about having a little cushion? And I know what it's like with young kids and everything going on. Seems like every time you get a couple hundred bucks in the bank, something crazy happens. Right? Get an amen there? So I know how discouraging it is what I'm talking about, but remember, we are not just worldly people who are trusting the math. We are Christian people who are trusting God. And so we can do these things. And then number 10, the ultimate goal of the Christian is to live generously. Live generously. Giving should be a way of life for every Christian. And so we want to be able to give generously. And by the way, I don't think you wait to give generously until all your bills are paid off. I think that you set aside money in your monthly budget each month. For you, of course, you got your tithe, your offering, what I call alms, which is personal giving. That's the secret giving to the secret needs of others, where you're taking care of needs that you see. And so be generous all along. And the truth is that we can't outgive God. And so here's how I'm going to encourage you today. And I got some paperwork here that I'm going to give to you. But let me say these things. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's get a good, solid picture of our financial state. I'm going to encourage you next to do a financial worksheet. Figure out your net worth or your net deficit. How much are you worth? Not talking spiritually or your person, but the things you own. How much financial value, do you own? And I did that this week. Wish I hadn't. I did it this week. And so I'll show you that. We got you that. And then I would create a budget that fits your goals. Create a budget that fits your goals. So now if we get clarity on what we want to accomplish, what we want to do, now I can begin saying, okay, now I've got to work hard. I've got to be a lot more tight with my finances. I'm a lot more focused on what I'm going to do or not do based on my goals so I can start reaching those. And so the budget determines the goals. Just like in our church, our calendar and our goals for the year determine our budget. So it's a lot of behind-the-scenes things. As you all get a budget passed out and we vote on the budget, but that budget is allocated in the background depending on what we're going to do. And so whether we have a special meeting or we decide how much we're going to spend on preachers coming in or we decide that we're going to have some special things this summer for our 175th anniversary. We decide for the Save New England Conference, it's October. All these things, there has to be money set aside for that. And so the calendar determines our budget and our vision determines the budget. And then also, same thing with you. Your vision, your goals will determine your budget. And then let me say next, and this is something we've preached for many years, and I kind of got away from it, I'm not sure why, but we taught this many, many years ago and for a long time, probably until the last 5 or 6 years, is use a cash envelope system in certain categories of your giving. Use a cash envelope system in certain categories of your giving. So if you're paying your mortgage or car payments or things like that, it's probably good to use banking or electronic to do that. But what about your groceries? There's something to be said for you having to count out five 20s and give someone $100 versus just swiping the plastic. it's much more painful to watch that money leave your hand. You're looking at the thing saying, okay, what do I want to put back? Because I don't want to give this person all this money. Versus just swiping the card and it accumulates and we get a statement at the end of the month. Then we're not being diligent. We don't know what's happening. And that's how we get into trouble. And so cash envelope system is great. With your pocket money, don't just swipe your card. Take out however much money you think you need per week. Put it in your wallet or your purse, and that's it. That's your budget for the week. That determines how much you can eat out, how many coffees you can get, how many stops you make. And so the cash envelope system is very, very helpful because we feel it much more than the other. All right, and I got a couple other statements to say, but let me give you some paperwork. Brother Brent, we got those. Let's pass out the financial worksheet first, not the budget, but the financial worksheet. All right, so what you're getting here is it's a personal balance sheet, and this is going to allow you to calculate your net worth. All right, but the first thing you need to do is on the back, you see a very simple spreadsheet that just says list of debts. List of debts. And it's got a column for the creditor, contact information, the payoff amount, how many payments you have left, your monthly payment, your due date, and your interest rate. Now it's going to take you, and I did this week, it's going to take you a little bit of time to go through every loan that you have open and find out this information. Look at past statements, your newest past statement. Oh, you can go online and check, but fill in this information and just get it all on paper. And then what I would do is calculate your payoff amount, get a total on that, and that'll be some of the information you need for the next side, and then also the total for your monthly payments so you know how much that you're paying each month. And it's also good for you to know your interest rates. You know, if you've got three credit cards, you might have one, depending on your financial situation or when you got these credit cards in the past, you might have one that's at 8%, you might have one that's at 27%, and you may not even know which is which. And so it's good for you to know what you're paying. Perhaps you might look at your home and say, whoa, I didn't know my interest rate was that high, and I can do better. Or you might look at your vehicle and say, you know, I've had this vehicle for 3 years. My credit situation's changed drastically. It's much better. I might be able to get a better deal. And so it gives you the information you need to be able to make these adjustments. All right, now turn over and look at your personal balance sheet. Everything on the left is your assets. So cash on hand, that's money in the bank. Savings, money market funds, a cash value of life insurance, all other cash and cash equivalents. And then you have your securities, stocks, bonds, CDs, all those things, any real estate that you own, the value of those, long-term assets, IRAs, annuities, pensions, personal property. If you have your automobile bill paid off, how much is it worth? And then you can just kind of eyeball, you know, if you got some good jewelry or art or something, you know, you can kind of eyeball those things and just write down what you think it is on the conservative side. Then the right side is what you owe. These are your liabilities. So what's your total owed on credit cards, court judgments, lines of credit, your loans, your automobile financing? Now, if you have your car paid off, what it's worth is an asset. If you don't have your car paid off, then what you have left to pay on it is a liability. And so you'd put that there. Home improvement loans, student loans, then you've got your mortgages and any other debts that you have. And then down at the bottom, you see you put your assets first, then you minus your liabilities, and that equals your net worth. And so this is just kind of eye-opening. You say, preacher, I know I'm not worth nothing. And so that may be true, but find out how little you're worth. Find out how less than nothing you're worth. And it's eye-opening, and it just kind of says, wow, this is where I'm at. And some of you might be pleasantly surprised. Some of you might be unpleasantly surprised, but it's just a good way for you to figure. And I did this week, and so I'm encouraging you to do it as well. And then that second page, Brother Brent. All right, so what I do when I'm working with my budget is I start on paper first. If you want to use something digital, then that might be very helpful for you, but I always like to just pencil and paper it first. Now, on the left side of your budget, it didn't print right for some reason. Those are different categories that break up into these different expenses. And so I'll make up some more of these for tonight that have those things printed there. But so let's look here. So with your family budget, first thing you do is calculate your income, and you want to figure your monthly amount and your weekly amount depending on how you get paid. It's just good to have both of those things. Let's see. And you can see on the back, you can have budget instructions that you can look at later that kind of walk you through this. I use this in counseling when I'm helping people get their budgets, create a budget. Oftentimes, it's amazing how many families don't have a budget at all, how many people have never even thought of it, but they're struggling financially. And so first thing you want to do is figure your gross income. And then under expenses, the very first thing I do is, because I want God to be first, is I want to calculate my tithe. By faith, I'm going to calculate my tithe off of my gross income. Now, this would be all of my income. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about our increase. It's not just money that I get, it's the increase. So all of these different ways, I calculate my tithe first off of my gross. And I even personally tithe off the benefits the church gives me. I tithe off of our health insurance. I tithe off of our housing expense. We tithe off of everything, because it's increase. Whether the government sees it as taxable or not, it doesn't really matter. And so, or how the government taxes it, they tax us on everything. But so you figure out your net pay, which would go in the top. And so your net pay, you figure out your monthly and weekly amount, any other investments, then you get your total monthly income. And then you go through and you just start filling out your expenses. And you can read on the back there, it's got some detailed instructions, but you know, how much is your, I always do God first, so my tithe, my offering, I pray about how much I want to give, how much God wants me to give to missions, and how much I can help others. Now, it may literally be $5 a week or $5 a month you can give to others, but put something there. Just put down a dollar and buy someone a candy bar every month. Do something so that you can just get it on your budget and get in the habit of doing it. All right, next you got your mortgage and your rent and your utilities. Then after that, you have your insurances, life, auto, health savings accounts or deductibles, medications, doctor bills, etc. Then next, your auto, your car payments, fuel, vehicle maintenance. If you don't have a car payment, I would recommend that you have a car savings account and that you're putting away so much a month so when this car breaks, you can buy another one. So you're not left with zero, starting with zero. It might be $20 a month or anything. Even if you have a car payment, if you have some money to play with, you're making a good wage compared to what your expenses are, then have a car savings account anyway. You'd be amazed at the deals you can get if you walk into a dealership with even a couple $1,000 cash and you put it down on the desk and then you start negotiating. They are in a very different mood than if you walk in with nothing. And so just some practical things. All right, next, we got our cell phones, groceries, household, date nights. Now, some of these things you're going to have a fixed expense on. You know how much your mortgage is. You know how much your insurance is. Some things are going to be fluid, but you have to decide. For example, you don't have a grocery bill per se. It's not coming in the month, at the end of the month, but you need to know how much you need. And household, how much do you need? Some people add their household into their groceries. We like to keep it separate detergent, cleaning supplies, trash bags. It was just good to have those things a little bit separate. Doesn't matter if you throw them together. All right, date nights. It's good for you to have a date night. Any entertainment for the family. You're going to go next month. You're going to go to a Providence Bruins game. So you need $60. So let's put that in and let's start saving some things. And pocket money. This is what you're going to carry. Haircuts, clothing. Think ahead. And then savings. You got vacation savings. Christmas and birthdays. This is a big one. You decide as a family how many people you're going to buy birthdays for and Christmas presents for. Decide that in January, not November. If you do it in November, you're going to just blow a bunch of money. Decide it in January. Decide, parents, how much you're going to spend on your kids' birthdays. And then that's what you stick to. And then throughout the year. And so, and by the way, that helps with the kids. They know that everybody gets spent the same amount of money on. Doesn't matter how many presents they have. They just know that this is how much we get for birthdays, and that's just the way it goes. And anyway, you can save up. That way you have saving money all day, all year long. When you get to Christmas, you have a Christmas fund that you can spend money out of, not trying to figure out how to pay for Christmas. All right? And then lastly, your debt, credit cards, and loans. Then you take your total expenses. So we got our total income, our total expenses, We subtract those, and then we are left with a surplus or deficit every month. All right, any questions about that? And you can tailor this however you want, whatever categories make sense to you. All right, any questions, any thoughts? All right, let me give you, just real quick, I got 2 minutes. Let me give you a couple tools that might be helpful to you. I came across this a few years ago, and I love it. It's a website called File This, filethis.com. And there's a free version, then there's a paid version. I think the first level of paid version is like $3 a month. The second level might be $5. But what File This does is you can put in all of your accounts, any account that you get a statement for at the end of the month or whenever your bills due. File This basically gathers all those for you in one place. So you're not sifting through emails, or if I want to look at my statements, I don't have to go look at 10 different websites. It's all in one place. And one thing I like about File This is it'll save it wherever you want. So, for example, I keep mine in Evernote. So every month, all of my statements are filed for me in Evernote. Now, Evernote.com is really a cool and it's free way. It's basically like a digital file cabinet. You can set different places to save things. You can tag them. If you are totally non-technical, then pen and paper works fine. An old file cabinet works fine. Or if you're techie and you like that kind of stuff, filethis.com with evernote.com makes a good system. For example, when I went to do much of my stuff, I didn't have to go and open all my accounts. Any account that was connected to File This, I just went to Evernote and all my statements were there for all last year in a nice little file cabinet. And so that's nice. And then they do have online budgeting things. There's something called mint.com. Mint.com will download some of your statements as well and give you a little bit of a view of what you bills you have coming up and such. There's something called everydollar.com. This is something put out by Dave Ramsey and his team, and it is free. If you don't link your bank accounts, it's free, and it's basically an online digital budget that you can do. And so these are just some things. I'm giving you paper tools that you can use, and I'm giving you some ideas for some digital tools you can use. But whatever you do, let's be diligent to know the state of our flocks. Amen? Listen, the same thing happens to me. I get busy. I'm running from thing to thing. I've got a young family. I've got a sick wife. If I'm not careful, this kind of stuff just gets by the wayside. And so we have to be careful with it. And it'll minimize your mistakes and give you goals going forward. All right, any quick questions? All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray this be helpful. Help us to follow through and to be able to get control and conquer our finances here. So I pray that you'd bless these dear folks. Lord, I pray that we'd be trustworthy with finances, that you can have a group of people here that you can bless financially, maybe in huge ways, in great ways, and that we would have the character and insight and understanding to take care of it and manage it properly for you. So pray you bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.